Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is 33 degrees in Central Park. That's what's happening. I'm Jerry Recco on Sports Radio 101.9.
The Fan is on your smart speaker. To listen to the home of New York sports, just say, play WFAN.
What the hell happened there? What is that, Dove's way of kicking Jerry out of the studio? What was that?
You shut me up.
Whose fault was that? Was that Dove's or that had to be Dove? Recco, a New Jersey State Broadcaster of the Year, would never make such an egregious mistake.
Egregious mistakes.
Congrats on that, by the way, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
Yep. How many people were in the mix? I heard Gio say four. By the way, is Gio okay? What was going on today?
I honestly don't know the answer to that. It was a disaster this morning.
It sounded it. I'd like to think I could tell the difference between a radio bit and something that's serious.
I don't think that was
a radio bit.
He legit was walking around the halls with no pants on.
Jesus Christ. What?
He was having his issues.
It sounded
either
like
that
it.
Or the pants were jacked up to his thighs. I'm not sure.
Taking his shoes off. He wanted to get liposuction yesterday.
Yeah, well, I like the idea of having the fat sucked out of you.
Oh, I would totally do it. If you told me that you could chisel off my love handles, I would absolutely get rid of them.
I couldn't agree more.
What, are you kidding me? That's the only part. I mean, not that I have a good body, but like that's the part of my body. If I look at myself in the mirror, I'm repulsed. Because my, you keep quiet there, Mr. In Shape, Mr. Olympia over here.
I'm going to excuse myself from this conversation.
Yeah, please get out of here. You're not going to miss much. Tiki's just going to flex and gloat and be sane.
Do some push-ups in the break. You used to, dude.
Yeah, I used to. I pulled a little something in the rib cage. I had a good workout yesterday. I did. I would do the lipo. Like, if Gio got it and I could just suck the fat off my right above the belt, because that's the only place in my body where I got a little excess weight.
It's where a lot of men can't get it.
You know, I got pencil legs. Chest is decent.
Squat.
I can't. Back surgery.
Yeah, that's right.
No double necks. No double chins. I mean, everything else is pretty good, but it's the belly. Hoff knows about that, right?
I got the belly. I got all of the sides. I got the muffin top, my wife likes to say.
The muffin top.
Yeah.
You're just a little naturally thicker all around, though.
Dude, my legs are gigantic.
Dude, own your thickness, dude. It's all good, man.
I do. Listen, if you want to fight me, let's go for it. I got the... My legs are the strongest part of me, man. I'll kickbox and forget about it.
Really?
Oh, hell yeah.
All right.
That's why he likes MMA.
I've heard. Tiki and Tierney here on The Fan, 11:04. All right, what do we have coming up this hour? Ian Rappaport joins us this hour a little later. And if you're watching us on the Twitch stream, twitch.com/WFAN, holding it up right now. The name of the book is called Blood in the Garden, The Flagrant History of the 1990s New York Knicks. And the author is Chris Herring. It is awesome. I've kind of jumped around. I haven't read page. You know, what is it, about 400 pages? It looks like it's a...
Yeah, it's a lot. It's
300.
It's a thick book, though.
But I've kind of jumped into stories that I didn't really know. So I parachuted around the book, and you just can't put it down once you start.
Agreed.
And it's amazing, too. Like, I know why, because I lived it, and the 94 team and the 90, all the Knick teams, like, that never won, that were really good. I mean, the place that... How we revere that team... That never won a championship. It really is astonishing. They weren't pretty to watch. They didn't score.
No.
A lot of the games were ugly. 88, 79 with the Pacers and the Heat. But God, did we love those kids, those guys.
Because they were passionate. Loved them. They were passionate about what they were doing. And each of those guys, I mean.
Oak.
I mean, I'm trying to think. Who's the Hall of Famer out of them?
Oh, just Patrick Ewing.
Just Patrick Ewing and Riley.
Exactly.
So none of them are Hall of Famers.
That's it.
Right, and maybe a couple of them made All Stars.
Yeah, Starks and Oakley made one year.
But I mean, it's like not perennial All Stars.
No, but
and every single one of those guys like they were family.
God,
because of how they played.
You know, it's funny we got these guys too late. Like Rolando Blackman came from the Mavericks when his back was shot. We got Kiki Vandeweghe too late. We got Mo Cheeks about 15 years too late. You know, that was a squad, though. I mean, and you know, it's just part of the fabric of New York sporting lore. We'll do that a little later. It's a great book, Blood in the Garden. And Canaron Judge, I don't want to make this to be a hot take because I don't want to be, we're not that show. We're not those guys. Even though I've said it a few times, can Uncle Stevie steal Aaron Judge from the Yankees? Well, first of all, anything's possible, and we'll do this later on in the show as well, but based on what Sweeney told us yesterday, Sweeney Murdy, he's not a priority. And when you're not a priority, and you've had some injury history, and you don't have a long-term deal,
yep.
and you're about to be 30, I think you have to keep everything on the table.
It's just an option. We threw it out yesterday because it is plausible, not reality, not like anybody talking about that from the Mets standpoint, that they're targeting Aaron Judge, but if you're going to leave Aaron Judge kind of just waffling and he's going to not feel, I don't think he's going to feel disgruntled, but
he could feel a little disrespected.
Well, one thing you know, because anybody would do this, he could be opportunistic and take a big deal someplace else, and that someplace else could easily be right across the state.
Wow. Right across the state, right 8 miles away.
Yeah,
God, that would be, Joey's in Brooklyn. Get back to the Giants situation, and Joey is on the fan with Tiki and Tierney. What up, Joe?
Hey, hi guys, how are you?
What's happening?
You know, everybody's talking about Bill Belichick disciples as far as coaching and this and that. I was wondering, did anybody ever think of Bill Parcells' guys? How about Phil Simms as general manager and Maurice Carcon as head coach? I know it's a little far-fetched.
Well, I mean,
go ahead, T.
I don't think
but, you know, I remember Parcells always talking so highly about Maurice Carcon.
I don't know if he – is he even still coach? I don't think he's still coaching Maurice Carcon anymore. I know he did it for a long time, and Parcells actually convinced him to not get into the front office side. And – oh, no, he wanted to become a high school coach, I think, Maurice Carcon. And Bill Belichick pulled him to be a Bill Parcells pulled him to be a coach in the NFL, and he did it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's still coaching.
His son's obviously moving up the ranks.
But his son, obviously, is executive also for the 49ers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean.
Well, and then about, I think we're a little past that point with Carthon, but yeah. Phil Simms would be incredible. I don't know that he wants to do it.
I think he's got a great gig.
He does.
So,
he does. A lot of TV.
I don't think he would want to.
But he is so good with the quarterbacks and, you know, breaking up film, and he's so, he's got the, you know, and Phil's got a great combination of old school morals and an intolerance for lack of work ethic, but he's got a coolness to him. And an adaptability that I think would play with the modern athlete.
Yeah.
We love Simms. By the way, Hoff, I thought you were getting Phil on the show this week. Where is he?
That's right.
Hoff's 0-2. Where's Simms?
Well, he joined somebody else this week by accident.
Mm. Well, he's boys with Boomer, so that's not by accident. That's all good. We can't have him on the show. Is
you
that what that means?
Double down guests in a week?
What?
You like to have two guys? You like to have somebody on the same?
First of all, I'm going to ask him different questions.
On the network, they would have the same guest on the same day.
Yeah,
I did see that actually. Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
It would drive us crazy.
I mean, is it like is that a spike mandate? No, no guests the same.
I like to spread it out. That's
well, I do too. I like to spread it out as well. I think we all like to spread it out.
We'll get him out next week. I promise you.
By the way, Maurice Carthon's last job coaching was in 2012. So it's been a minute now. He's assistant head coach out in Kansas City.
All right, Sal. Sal's in Brooklyn. Sal is on the fan, Tiki and Tierney. Sally boy, what's up, Sal?
Boys, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Look, I'm already thinking for later. Good morning, boys. Hoping all is well.
It's almost afternoon.
Brandon.
Yeah.
Did your father take you over to Serendipity when you were chopping your hair up? Maybe that was the spot on Avenue U?
Talking about Serendipity, the ice cream place. Oh, no. I got you. No, hold on. Ginger Rose.
17th and U was the spot. Ginger Rose's, they're gone.
I know that. Rose. The Russians, yeah. the Russians, oh, Ginger Rose was the best. I thought it was great. What are you kidding me?
Ginger Rose, you know what? Ginger what? Rose was the spot, like the commercial spot everybody went to. It wasn't the real underground spot.
No, Sal.
Okay.
Sal
Ginger Rose was good that way.
Sal gave you the,
he gave me the Heisman. Sal, hold on
and
a
also,
second.
Also, listen, hey. You when you go out, you're like Biggie. You absolutely show the Brooklyn love. So good for you when you're going out. You know how to move the wallet a little bit. You don't have those short arms.
Absolutely. Sure no alligator good. Arms on this guy. You got to reach into the pocket.
And Tiki, you played on these Giant teams. As good as the offense was, the defense was always better. So as much as you got, you know, Dave Ball out there, but he's got really good talent, I think you pick up this kid Flores, not because he's a New York guy.
Yeah.
I mean, we always like New York guys. But the fact that he did what he did with that team to get them to play defensively without a legit offense, this kid's no quarterback. And for the owner, you know, he did like the Romans. Let me root for the people and forget government. You can't do that, man. You can't take the side of the players. And this guy Ross is in trouble with that, man. So,
oh, that's funny.
You know, let's see what happens with that, man. You guys are the best.
Sal, that is Brooklyn for you right there. Sally Boy.
Straight up.
By the way, Ginger Rose was awesome. It was basically an offshoot of Astor Place, which I think it made its way through the. I have no hair, so I haven't been there in a while. But Astor Place in the Village,
barbershops.
Yeah, it's like Chris Mullin would come in from the Warriors, and he'd get his flat top there. They had like 100 chairs, multi level.
Oh wow!
And Astor Place. I'd go there in high school in the 90s. That's where you would go to get your number shaved in your head. I mean, you go other places too. The Shamrock, the designs, like they were. It was a museum of artists.
That's interesting.
That cut hair.
That's interesting.
And Ginger Rhodes was kind of an offshoot of that. So I'm going to disagree with Sal.
I don't think I've ever been in a barbershop.
What?
I'm trying to think. I'm being dead serious, BT. I don't think I've ever been in a barbershop.
Well, wait, Geico paid you to be in a barbershop.
Yeah, but I was the barber. I was the barber.
Who cut your hair?
My brother cut my hair.
When you were 10?
When I was 10 years old. Either my mom would or my brother would cut my hair.
And scissors back then, not the buzzers back then.
Yeah, no, they had the buzzers back then.
Did they?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I remember
35 years ago?
Rondé putting like the... He put
the
my...
Clips?
Like the... No, a lightning bolt.
Okay.
We were like 12 years old. I remember this distinctly. I have a picture of it with a lightning bolt in the side of my head that Rondé like etched in.
On the side.
Yeah. I don't remember going to barbershops. I never. And then, because obviously when I was in high school, I either did it myself, kept it really short, or Rondé would do it. We'd cut each other's hair. And then when I got to college, I just balded it. So
yeah, I guess.
I don't think I've ever been to a barbershop. At least not one like you're talking about.
Something else that makes you different.
It's a lot of trust of Rondé, though, right?
Yeah. Like did you cut Rondé's, too?
Yeah. I wasn't as good as he was. He put my number in my head once.
Yeah, well, that could look all crooked. That could be a disaster.
But it was cool. It was great.
Was it 21? Did you wear a single digit back then?
Yeah, back then. He was 5. I was 2.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, my God. Mike is in Oceanside. Mike is on the Fan with Tiki and Tierney. What up, Mikey?
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
We're good, Mike. What's up, man?
BT, I got to apologize, but I got to throw some more love at Tiki. Tiki is a longtime Giant fan, man. Thank you for not only what you did on the field, but for the class act you are in representing this franchise.
Appreciate you, my friend. Thank you, Mike.
I got to disagree with you guys a little bit about it being an offensive game. If you look at not only last year's Super Bowl, which was won by Tampa's defense, but by... Buffalo being the number one defense in the league.
Good point.
Kansas City, after the first 5 weeks, have been a shutdown defense. The Rams shut down the Cardinals last weekend. They have a lot of good. San Francisco's only there because of that defense. I think defense and Tennessee reminds me of the old Giants. With
a little
defense
bit.
And running.
A little bit,
yeah. No, I mean.
And I think defense is still what wins.
I mean, you know what?
What about the Packers?
The Packers have a good defense as well.
No, I'm just saying. I'm throwing it out there.
And they're getting healthy.
But they can score 35 with their eyes shut.
That's true. It's really weird because there used to be the – appreciate your call, Mike. There used to be that cliche, defense wins championships.
Mm-hmm.
And to an extent, you're right. And most of the teams that have won championships have been top 10 defenses. But you also have to score, right? There's going to be a point in this postseason – where a team is just going to have to find a way. I got to put up 30, and if you don't, you're gonna lose that game. And so it doesn't mean that they're not Super Bowl viable if you don't have a good defense. But what weighs more heavily? Is it a great offense or a great defense? I think offenses have found ways to get around great defenses because of scheme
and the rules.
Exactly right. Like. The back shoulder throw, me and my brother were having this conversation last week, after the last week's postseason. The back shoulder throw, which you hear all the time. It's almost overused.
Except for our teams, of course. We don't really hear it with the Jets and the Giants. A little bit with Zach, but not really with Danny.
You know how to defend, you know how to throw a ball when a defender's over the top? Yeah, you throw it to the back shoulder. Oh, wait, what?
Uh-huh.
Right? I hear you. But that play is almost indefensible because a DB can't see the wide receiver and the quarterback at the same time. So the only thing he can do is react to the wide receiver. And if a quarterback is good enough to when he's streaking down the field, hit his back shoulder in stride.
Mm-hmm.
It's in defense. It's an indefensible throw. And so that's why quarterbacks, that's why Aaron Rodgers matters. That's why Patrick Mahomes matters. It's why Tom Brady matters. It's why Josh Allen at this point matters. These guys can throw back shoulder throws 35 yards downfield on a line. And so I get what you're talking about with defense. Like, it does matter. But sometimes if you have an indefensible play, you just have an indefensible play.
Mm-hmm.
And the back shoulder throw has created that in the league.
877-337-6666. Matt is also in Brooklyn, and Matt is on the fan. Matty, what's going on, Matt? Matty.
I don't think we clicked him up.
Oh, my bad. That's all my fault. Sorry. Matt, how are you?
He's getting ready to get on you, Matt. That was his fault. Go ahead, Matt.
He's getting ramped up already. What's up, Matty?
Doing a great job so far. I used to listen to you with Jody. Brandon, obviously, Kiki, you're a stud. I'm a big Giant fan. So
appreciate you, Matt.
You guys are
Matt.
Doing your thing.
Thanks, brother.
All right. So I want to make three quickies, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I'll be quick.
Yeah.
First quickie. Does it bother anybody else that the New York Giants are interviewing head coaches without a GM chosen yet?
No, we'll get back to that. Make point number two.
Yep.
I promise we'll get back to that. Go ahead. Number two.
Okay, because that's bothering the crap out of
me.
Okay. Number two, I know you've been bringing in old-time WFAN hosts for interviews. Are you going to bring in Big Mike or what?
I'll give you the honest truth. I reached out to Mike. I didn't even know that Mike. But though, Mike did middays for a minute, right? He did?
With Ed Coleman.
With Eddie C., who we also have to get on. I reached out to Mike. I sent him a text when I first came up with the idea, and he politely declined. For whatever reason.
No.
He said, listen, I appreciate the offer, but I'm going to take a pass. And I said, okay, I got you. I did reach out to Mike and ask him. He said that he wasn't going to do it. And what else?
Okay. All right. And then, lad, this is a little random, but this really bothered me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ben,
mm-hmm.
before his last postseason game, went out there, press conference, made a joke out of it. Hey, we don't deserve to be here, you know. To me, if I'm his teammate, that really bothers the crap out of me.
I didn't like that either, Mike.
Eli Manning would never. Ever. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, right? Matt, appreciate you, bud.
I didn't like that either.
I didn't mind it. I'll tell you why.
So to me, we'll start backwards. You already answered
I've
the
got the
one.
Other thing written down about the head coach and the GM. I got it written down.
So the Big Ben thing.
Yep.
So we knew that this Steelers team was in. I hate to say it because anything can happen on any given Sunday, but let's call it what it is. They were inferior. This year, all year. And I got to tell you, Mike Tomlin did a heck of a job getting this team ready. But you know that Mike Tomlin is saying the exact opposite 10 times louder than what Big Ben was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody's telling us that we're underdog, but to hell with that, we're going to fight, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we're going to do blah. Like, and so by Big Ben saying, yeah, even if he's saying it facetiously, we don't really have a chance. We're just going to come out. We hope to keep it close. It's a direct contradiction of what I promise you the head coach said that week. And so it just creates this, like, well, what do we, like, we listen to Ben or we listen to Tomlin? Because Ben is loved, obviously, there, but Mike's the guy.
Yeah, so you think he undermined this head coach a little bit?
A little bit.
All right. I got you. Listen, I'll always defer to you. I get it. You were in a locker room as a pro, and I certainly wasn't, so it's ridiculous to start battling over that. I would respectfully disagree and position it as, I almost took it as Big Ben taking a page from Rocco Mediate's book back in 2008. Remember when Tiger was hopping around on the one wheel and Rocco Mediate with the bad back, and it was really, well, like, wow, Rocco. And they go to the extra holes on Monday. I think that was Torrey Pines. I'm almost positive it was Torrey. It was definitely the U.S. Open, and Tiger won. It was the last major before a couple of things obviously transpired. And Rocco was like, the morning of Monday's round, you know, the continuation, he said, I shouldn't even be here, man. I've got no business. And it was, you know, him saying, all right, let's play loose, man. Yeah. I got nothing to lose. I thought Ben was trying to, you know, disarm his teammates from being tense or not afraid, obviously, but being tense or being too wrapped up in the emotional aspect. Just go out there, let it flow, let it hang and play. I didn't have a big issue with it.
The difference between Rocco Mediate and Big Ben is that Rocco's talking to himself. Big Ben's talking to 52 other guys.
No, that's an important distinction. But I agree with you on that.
Who don't know or how they're going to interpret.
He doesn't
know these guys well enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, so, again, I see it a little bit of both ways. Why don't you take the part about
the head coach, restate his question so people know where we're going. This, at the top of our show, actually, and you know, a lot of people are getting up and on. Why are you interviewing the head coach before you had to hire the GM? The reason that Dan Quinn, and I'm sure there are others we just haven't heard about yet, that are getting interviews, not in person. Dan Quinn's not coming to the Meadowlands or wherever, MetLife, to come interview with the New York Giants. These are probably virtual calls or whatever it may be. Dan Quinn and some others are getting these interviews because the GM candidates, and there's three of them right now, Ryan Poles, Joe Shane, and Adam Peters, who I'm sure you've heard a lot about, were asked, who would you hire as head coach, or who would be on your list as a head coach hire? And Dan Quinn was either on all of them or at least two of their list. Therefore, the Giants are getting a head start on getting to know Dan Quinn. They're not planning on hiring him. They're just.
But they could, to be clear.
They could.
They could.
But they're just they're expediting the process because the Giants can't sit here without a head coach for 3 weeks.
No, they'll have a GM, I think, by the week, and they'll have a head coach by, I think, mid-next week. It wouldn't surprise me if the Giants head coach. Maybe the Giants will actually let us play the press conference where they hire their coach. What do you think, Dove?
Hoff, you got to preempt that. Seriously.
I think I'm going to ignore him, no matter what they say.
You got to ask him, can we play it early?
Here's the deal. If the Giants ask us to not play it, ignore them. Don't answer your phone. Just tell them, Tierney didn't know. Yeah. He's new to FAN. He doesn't really know the protocol, nor does he really care.
You know the cliche. He wanted to play it. It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
That's right. We're playing it. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney here on the Fan up until 2. Then it's Carden and Roberts on WFAN. I don't know, Dove. Maybe next time you have something that doesn't run out on us while we're doing the spot, maybe a minute and a half bed rather than 60 seconds or 45 seconds.
I think
whatever
that was probably a 90
second. That was 2.5.
We did not waste 2.5 minutes right there. And maybe we did.
You don't waste any time on the show. What are you talking about?
That's right. We're economical.
Exactly.
Everything we say matters.
See, the music dropped off right when the Athletic Greens read was happening. It emphasized it. It pointed it.
He didn't even think about finding some more music. He's like, nah. These guys ran over it. Dove's already on to the next.
You learned a lesson the hard way.
Hey, listen. Dove, let me ask you a question. When I come back from break, right, and letting everybody know what's coming up. We got this. We'll get to Aaron Judge a little later. We're talking Giants. Here's the number. Here's the Twitter account. Here's the Twitch account. Here's the phone bank. All the things that I've got to juggle.
Here's our Metaverse account.
What?
Exactly.
Don't you think that I've got more than one thing prepared in case, I don't know, he brings me in a different direction or I don't know. Like, you might want to have a second song ready just in case I go long or he goes long.
I'm very distractionary.
I mean, you got one job there. Have
I'm
the music
very distractionary. I can throw BT on tangent. I haven't done it yet, but I can throw you on some tangent.
I think some of the best shows that we've ever done have been about nothing. I mean, really, if you think about it. Wait till we actually start.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, wait till I'm fully comfortable with the Fan. Then you start hearing, Lord knows what you're going to start hearing. Still easing into it. All right, 877-337-6666. Tenafly. Tenafly, we go. Peter is on the Fan. Pete.
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning.
What's happening,
Pete? You know, if you think 40 is old.
I don't. My partner does.
I'm just saying older. My daughter tells me I'm old all the time. That's the only reason I say that.
I'll put it in perspective. My dad started taking me to Giant games in 1959.
Wow.
Tickets. We've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, man, you have.
I would tell you this. I got a kick out of mid-season on your station. You had a number of guys talking about, well, if we win one more game, the Giants have won a few games in a row, we're going to have a shot at the playoffs. and it drove me crazy because I agree with you. I think the talent level really needs a boost.
Yep.
And I just wanted to get that point in and say, by the way, you guys are very listenable. I enjoy your show.
Appreciate you, Peter.
Keep up the good work, and we can always talk about the Rangers.
Yeah, hey, Peter, who looked good again last night. Pete, we watched the game last night. The Rangers looked good.
I mean, Ryan Reeves had two goals. The forechecking, it was actually really good, despite how
forechecking.
BT, I watched this game. So I sit
down. Good job.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Peter.
Sorry about that, Peter.
Tiki hung up on you.
I did. I did not touch the thing. You did. So we've been saying for, I don't know, 2.5 weeks, We're gonna talk hockey.
Sure.
But in our minds, like, what you guys aren't hearing is that BT are telling ourselves we should actually watch some of these hockey games.
Yeah, and we have been
before we start talking about.
I'm not watching the Devils. I mean, I'll watch the Rangers and I'll watch a little Islanders.
And so last night, Brooklyn is out. Tegan was with Tracy playing some game, whatever it was. And I'm sitting down. I was like, I can watch this Rangers game if I want to from start to finish. And so I sit down and I start watching the Rangers. They're playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. And 4 minutes in, they're down 2-0. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, these guys suck.
What?
This is gonna
Don't say that. Rangers are the best team in the city.
No, but
these guys
suck.
This
is the first time I'm watching them. And this is what I see. They're just
Tiki the Mush.
They're discombobulated around the net. Shesterkin has no chance with some of these rebound shots. I mean, it's just like, why am I even watching this?
It was a sloppy start.
It was sloppy. And then all of a sudden, they start to just inch their way back. First, it was a McCraig, centered it to Ryan Reeves, and he, top shelves it, and it's like, oh, that's all right. Now it's 2-1. Then all of a sudden it goes 3-1. I'm like, oh, here we go again. Mm-hmm. Then Reeves scores another one. And then, so as I stuck with it, I realized how good this team actually is because they didn't quit.
No.
Right? They didn't lay it down, and they kept fighting throughout the game, and ultimately they won 6-3. And so, like, my first experience this year watching Rangers, I've seen Rangers games before, and I've been to Rangers games, but this year watching them from start to finish, it was impressive,
man. They're good, man. You watch them every night, you're going to walk away impressed more times than not.
Yes.
Rangers are good.
Yeah, and they kept talking about it, especially the fourth line. I know that's been the story today. They got stuck on the ice because they kept icing, so they couldn't make shift change. It just kept happening over. They kept icing it, tossing it out of the zone, but they couldn't change the shifts. And the fourth line just did a hell of a job, man.
Hold on a second. I gotta. Yeah, I mean, how?
That's what happens when you watch. You gotta watch.
What an See, I know this about you, and I told everybody, I told our audience this about you. You know, and I get some tweets. Well, what does Tiki know besides football? And I'm like, just listen to the guy. Like, he is a diligent note taker. The guy watches games.
I'm a nerd.
That's Mike. That's code for he's a complete nerd.
Yeah.
He knows basketball. He loves basketball. He's going to do his homework with hockey. He's 10 years ago, he started doing his homework with baseball. Like, the guy, I don't know what you guys thought you were getting with Tiki, but he wasn't just rolling in here giving football takes and just moonwalking through the road. That's not Tiki. He's an invested guy.
Football's the easy side. I don't have to think about that to have a comment on it. It's the other stuff that I like. I'm interested.
Watch more of the Rangers than I did. I watched St. John's get their doors blown off night. That was horrendous.
Oh, wait. That was the game you said that the season had to start.
Well, that wasn't. You see, people misconstrued what I wrote. That first of all, I never guarantee wins with St. John's.
It was their important game. They needed a tier one.
Well, they're 0-5 in quad one games. St. John's hasn't had a good win this whole season. St. John's doesn't look good at all.
Wow.
They just don't. The players they lost last year, Erlington, they miss him. The JUCO players they brought in, I always evaluate college kids from pro kids a little less harshly, or pro players. So I'm not here to denigrate 18, 20-year-old kids. It's a different style. It's a different tone. But right now, St. John's is miles from being what I thought they could be. That's very disappointing because you've got one of the best players in the country in Champagny, and you got a great point guard in Posh, and you got the defending Big East Coach of the Year in Mike Anderson. They haven't played a great game yet all season.
When are you doing another one? When's the next one?
Monday night at Seton Hall. And I was supposed to do, I was scheduled to do both Seton Hall games, but something came up, and I rarely, you know, change my schedule, but something came up, so I can't do the game Saturday. I was supposed to do that, but I'm doing the game Monday at Walsh. It's actually at Walsh Gym. It's not even at the Prudential Center.
Oh, interesting.
It's, and I believe it's only all college students. Well, wait, like,
that,
no,
so
it's on Seton Hall's campus. Their little tiny gym is Walsh.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they, like, used to play when.
That's close to me.
Why, you can't even come because it's all students.
Wait,
I mean, I
can
get you a press pass, I'm sure.
Oh,
but
maybe
you want to come?
I might have to.
Look, we're
going to
get Tiki into, like, Rutgers hoops, Rutgers football, Seton Hall basketball. You're already into the Johnny's hoops. We're going to get him into all the nuances. Metro Stars. Who else we got? The Staten Island Ferry Dogs, the independent team. My boy Gary Perone out there. Brooklyn Cyclones. We'll take you on the whole ride, Tiki.
All right.
All right?
I can get down with Seton Hall. My my buddy. But actually, I think you... I don't know if you met them, Brian and
is
Angela.
Is he a Seton Hall fan?
Well, they went to Seton Hall.
Well, I don't want to meet him if you went to Seton Hall. Well,
you might have met him, actually, the one time he came to my house, because his wife, Ange, used to be our babysitter. She was like a, it was very young.
Was this Brooklyn's early birthday? The first birthday party?
Yeah, definitely. You met Brian and Ange.
I did.
In Connecticut now.
Yeah, the Seton Hall fan.
But they're Seton Hall's fans.
Yeah, I walked away from them. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. But, I mean, a final thought on the Rangers, on the blue shirts there, Tiki. I don't want to get in the way of
epic win. It was an unbelievable win. Fox was great. He had 3 points as well, 2 goals, I think, and an assist. So, I mean, it was epic. And it was a great game to help me learn what this team was about.
Hoff, get us good Ranger. I know we've been offered tickets to sit courtside for the Knicks. Get us Ranger tickets.
On it.
Okay?
I'll take care of that.
We'll go as a group. We'll have a couple beers. We'll watch the Rangers hopefully destroy somebody, and we'll talk about it the next day. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan up until 2. Ian Rappaport, all NFL issues, the games and the coaching stuff, starting with the Giants direction next here on the Fan. Back to the Giants and the NFL, Tiki and Tierney here on the Fan, and it's time now for the Ian Rappaport report. Brought to you by H&L Gross Jewelers of Garden City and online at hlgross.com, by WynnBET Sportsbook, now live in New Jersey, and by Covers.com. Sports bettors, start your divisional weekend at Covers.com. Winning starts here. All right, Mr. Rappaport, we hit on this last week. Obviously, threw out a bunch of names. We're a week deeper into the GM head coach search from the Giants. From, you know, every angle, it seems like they're doing it the right way, open to a different way of thinking. They seemingly are talking to smart people, ascending people. Would you grade out the search the same way thus far?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is what it's kind of supposed to be. You know, you cast a wide net, you talk to some people, you figure out kind of who are the, not just hot names, but who are the good names, who are the guys who are almost GMs or have GM responsibilities, but not the title, and who can step in and do it. And, you know, I thought the original list was good and interesting. I thought their final three as of now, I heard could potentially maybe be a fourth, but, you know, we'll see if this is it. But as far as the three goes, I mean, you have Joe Shane, who is extremely well-respected, who's been the right-hand man for Brandon Bean in Buffalo for years, who's very smart, who is, you know, pretty dynamic, and I think more than ready. That's one. You have Ryan Poles from Kansas City, who is, you know, I would say more of an unknown, but definitely an ascending name. You know, someone most people probably haven't heard of, but very key to what Kansas City is doing, and another kind of dynamic candidate. And then you have Adam Peters from the San Francisco 49ers, who is, you know, basically their top personnel guy, essentially the GM right under John Lynch. The way they are structured, though, Lynch is kind of more of the, like, consensus builder, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam Peters, when it comes to personnel and scouting, probably has as much say as anyone. So, you know, those are the three. I think it's a good list. You know, I think most people probably thought Joe Shane was the favorite going in. I think he's got a shot. He's got a good shot. We'll see where it shakes out, you know. Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
And maybe today.
Yeah, exactly. All these guys are young as well, relatively young. And I'm wondering what that means for the next head coaching hire as well. You know what I mean? Like, is it someone that's relatable to them, or where they go for experience? And how much influence will that new GM actually have as opposed to what the Giants organization wants?
I would say the way it's kind of working, from what I understand, is, you know, you have the three candidates now. You talk to each of them about, like, who would your candidates be? Who would your head coach be? They requested Dan Quinn, the Cowboys defensive coordinator, from what I understand, because he was someone that all of the coaches were like, if we got the job, we'd like to talk to. So if everybody wants to talk to him, then it makes sense to request him. I would assume Brian Flores is on all of the lists as well, one of the top candidates available.
Yeah.
Both those guys have done it before. I think, you know, with what teams do, and I think what the Giants are doing, is a lot of times you go the opposite of what you did before. So you had noted general manager Dave Gettleman, who is very set in his ways. Okay, well, each of the three GM candidates are young and I would say much more open-minded, right? Even in Buffalo, where they have a good system and a way of doing things, they kind of open their arms to an offensive coordinator and Brian Daboll, who brought the New England way, and they've done great, right? I think those, that's the GM. And then for the head coach, you had Joe Judge, who you guys know. And I still think at some point, if he ever gets the opportunity again, would be a good head coach if given the proper tools, like, oh, I don't know, a functional GM and maybe a quarterback, an offensive coordinator. But he was unproven and young and made some mistakes that young coaches do. So I would say an experienced head coach would probably make sense this time around.
So we're talking to Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, with us here on Tiki and Tierney, WFAN. I know what Stephen Jones said about Mike McCarthy, that he's safe. Can that change? Any chance that changes?
I would be surprised if it changes. I know what you're saying because, you know, Dan Quinn's getting a lot of interest. He's getting a lot of love. What if someone wants to hire him? Do the Cowboys just say, actually, no, stay? I don't see it. You know, I mean, the Joneses are convicted with Mike McCarthy, and the playoff loss was bad. But to me, I'm having trouble understanding it, right? Because all season, everyone talked about how little Mike McCarthy did, how Dan Quinn runs defense, Kellen Moore runs and calls the offense. Bones Fossil does the special teams. McCarthy kind of just arranges. And then they lost in the playoffs and everyone's like, all right, we should fire McCarthy. And I'm like, well, okay. But like, and those guys are great candidates. I think Kellen Moore is going to be the head coach and Dan Quinn has obviously been, but they all share blame. So to me, I feel like the Joneses are convicted as far as bringing Mike McCarthy back for a big year next year. Very important year next year, but I don't see that changing this year.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right about that. But it also kind of feels like all this noise is making Dan Quinn think about, maybe I should find my way out of here, because he's gotten a lot of interest. How much of his previous history, because I know some of our callers have talked about it, the 28-3 blown loss, obviously in the Super Bowl, the very mediocre years, even though those were explainable in some ways because of the injuries to the Atlanta Falcons, particularly on the defensive side. How much of Dan Quinn has been rehabilitated by this last year's stint in Dallas?
Yeah, I think some. He did a great job in Dallas. I mean, was, you know, I don't know if they give a coordinator of the year award. Maybe they do. but I mean, I guess it's possible. There's awards for everything nowadays.
Yeah,
But, you know, he did a great job. Really, really was exactly what they needed and really was key to kind of setting the foundation on defense and just calling the defense and did a great job. He took the Falcons to the Super Bowl. And I get frustrated, and this is just my own personal thing. I get frustrated when people take stuff that happens in the playoffs or the Super Bowl and they use it as an indictment for something generally, right? Like,
yeah,
Dan Quinn lost a 28-3 lead. Therefore, when he gets to the big moment, he can't handle it. And I'm like, okay, cool. But how many coaches got to that big moment? I mean, getting to the Super Bowl is a very big deal.
That's right.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think he'll be a good coach. And I would also say, you know, with all due respect to Thomas Dimitroff, there were some lean personnel years. I mean, they didn't have a great offensive line. They were, you know, look, it was, I think when it was time to go in Atlanta, it was time to go.
I like him. I like him. I'm with you. I like him.
As a person, not that this matters, but as a person, you would like him too. Plus, he's bald.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. We've had him on our show a couple of times. He was great.
We love him.
You guys could talk about not having hair.
Yeah. And he's from Morristown, so he's local to where we are. Josh McDaniel's name comes up a lot. And I mean, I tend to think he's just sitting there waiting in New England. He went and failed a little bit in Denver. Then he flirted with and didn't ultimately take in Indianapolis. Josh McDaniels, what's his deal?
I think he's waiting for the right opportunity. And, you know, you do this enough and you sort of dance enough and you do the request and then you do an interview and then you're one of eight. And then sometimes you get brought back and then you have to deal with the emotional disappointment of like, did I get it? Did I not? I gave a good interview. Do I have to prepare? You know, it's like I honestly think once you go through it a bunch, I think it kind of sucks. I think the process sucks. And like, if you are a young coach and you want to be a head coach, then you just do it because there's like no other way. It's like going through the combine. It's like everyone, players don't like the combine.
Hated it.
It's hard for them, of course, but it's what you need to do to get through to where you want to go. I think Josh McDaniels is at the point now where it's like, if you'd like to hire him, then try to hire him. Otherwise, like, I'm not sure he's going to do the whole like dog and pony show type deal. And I think teams probably know that, which is why he hasn't had a question.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense. We're talking to Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network. All right, I got to throw my Jet brethren a bone here. Just too much Giant stuff on the station. Now,
yeah.
I think it's been a little overstated, the amount of cap space the Jets have, because they've got to earmark a lot of that money for 9 draft picks, 2 of whom who will go, I mean, theoretically in the top 10. They could obviously make a trade, and I think they probably trade out of one of those two, but they'll have first-round pick or trade back. So they'll have a lot of money going to the draftees. Calvin Ridley is a name that we've heard a lot about, and they've got enough money to make it happen and definitely enough equity to make it happen. But I need clarity on this. Are the Falcons, if they're blown away, they'll make a trade, or are they motivated to trade him? Two very distinctly different things. And if it's the latter, do you think the Jets will be really, really involved and not just a product of the media hype machine?
I think the Jets could use another receiver. I kind of like their young receiving core. We'll see what happens with Mims, where he goes, if he goes or stays.
Nah, he stinks.
I think it's
Mims.
I mean, you know, I think it's safe to say he could, you know, we'll see what happens there. But I think I think greener pastures or different pastures would probably make some sense there. But so anyway, my point is, I think they could use another receiver.
Okay.
Ridley is great. I think where the Falcons are now is they are trying to figure out, like, they basically lost a year of him. And I think they said all the right things. They did all the right things. They tried to support him. But at some point, you want the player. Like, it is a football team. You want the player. So I would say, I would describe them as open. I don't think they made a firm decision on what they want to do, but they're probably going too soon, because you'd like to go into this offseason knowing, do you have your first round receiver or not?
Yeah.
And what's the market? I mean, you spent a first rounder on him. He's on the 5th-year option. Could you get a first rounder back? I mean, if you get a first rounder back, I would say you'd probably do the deal. I would say that's probably an interesting one to watch. I would also add, you made a very good point. They do have cap space to sign a draft pick. It's all fully guaranteed where the Jets and actually the Giants are. That all that money, when you draft, all that money's gone, because every bit of fully guaranteed money is handed over essentially to the league office. So, like, yes, they have cap space, but that's a massive, I think it's like $25 or $30 million each player at the time. Boom, that space is now done. It's not as much space as you think.
Mm-hmm. And just to follow up on the Ridley thing, because it's been fairly it's been a shade of gray. And you talk about mental health. We certainly all respect it. We all get it. And everybody's different. But do you have an understanding that the Falcons believe that he's okay? I mean, are they really worried? I mean, I haven't heard anything about that.
I believe that the Falcons believe he is okay. I would say, I don't know. Look, there's the mental health part, which everyone is sympathetic to. And the Falcons did an incredible job of supporting him and saying, you know what, you need time. Yes, I know we're having a season, but go take time. I think at some point, I do believe he's okay, although he was definitely going through some stuff this season. I think if it's a new team or the Falcons, I think he'll be okay next year.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to figure out kind of where he's at, you know, figure out a situation mutually where I think they can both benefit. But would I say they're open to a deal for the right price? I think I probably would.
Gotcha. Ian, really good report. Appreciate you, buddy. That is the Ian Rappaport appearance here on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney. Thank you very much, Ian.
Appreciate you.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go. He's trying to delicately say that Denzel Mims might be on a different team, and I'm saying he stinks. That's the difference between me and Rappaport.
Right.
I'm sorry, when a guy runs out of the end zone, I can't forget that. And then when he runs back in, he drops it. It's just confounding what happened to him. And I think that, listen, you tell me a new coaching staff comes in, they don't want a guy who's 6'3", 220, who runs a 4'3", 540 on the football field?
Yeah, something else is wrong.
Come on.
Yeah,
something else. You don't have a football field. You're doing something wrong.
Something else is going on. Exactly right.
Man. All right, T, coming up next here on the show, I can't wait to get into this. Now, it was just a little thing that was dropped in the middle of the show. with our buddy Sweeney Murdy yesterday about how Aaron Judge is not a priority for the Yankees, and then it opened up all sorts of conjecture. Could Uncle Stevie jump in? Could the Red Sox jump in? Why is he not a priority? Judge and the Yankees and their long-term marriage, will it be one? We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan, Tiki and Tierney.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.